If you would, turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Thank you for being here. I know this is a night when it's very easy to decide we're just going to stay home. But you've chosen to come. You're able to get out. And I hope that it was without too much slipping and sliding. We did some slipping and sliding as we were coming. And but we made it, and I appreciate so much your being willing to come out and to worship fellow saints tonight. I want to talk about the obedience of Abraham. Just a few points about his obedience and make application to ourselves, and then the lesson will be yours. It's not going to be a very long lesson, but some interesting points about the obedience of Abraham. This is when God told Abraham to take his son to the land of Moriah and to offer him up for a burnt offering. And I want to read the passage first of all. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." An extraordinary story of one commitment to the Lord that led him to obey in this fashion. Let's talk about the nature of this obedience. First of all, I suggest to you that Abraham's obedience was an obedience without delay. God had told him to take his son to the land of Moriah and upon one of the mountains that God would show him, tell him of, he was to offer him for a burnt offering. Verse 3 says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." He arose early in the morning. You know, what I might be tempted to do is to say to myself, I don't know if I need to do it right now. I need some time to think about this. You know, this is going to be very difficult. We'll do it next week. And then next week comes, and I want to put it off till another time because of the difficulty of carrying out this command. But Abraham doesn't do that. Abraham, without delay, it says he rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and they went to the place where God had commanded him. But also, his obedience was without question. If you had asked Abraham at this time, here he is taking his son to the land of Moriah to offer him up, and you ask him, say, "Well, Abraham, did not God promise that your seed would become a great nation, and that your seed, your descendants, would possess the land of its enemies, and that through your seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed? Did not God promise that to you?" He'd say yes. "And is not Isaac this son, the son of promise, the one through whom these promises are to be fulfilled?" He would have to say yes. And then you say to him, well, Abraham, if you go and offer him up for a burnt offering, how is it that God's going to be able to fulfill these promises? And Abraham would have to say, I don't know. The Lord had not revealed that to him. He had some ideas in his mind of how God maybe would do this. But he didn't know. All he knew is God commanded him to go and offer his son up for a burnt offering, and that he was the one through whom the promises were to be fulfilled. What we find here is obedience without question. Even though he didn't understand everything, Abraham still went and did what God said. And also, this was an obedience with sacrifice. And that goes without saying, doesn't it? Notice in verse 2, God said to him, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Now, he's the only son of Sarah, his wife. And Abraham had other sons, but this was the son of promise, the son of the promise of their old age, the one through whom the promises were to be fulfilled, your only son, the one whom you love. And he takes Isaac with him, and on the way, what does Isaac do? Isaac doesn't know that he's the sacrifice. Abraham knows. In verse 7, it says that Isaac said to Abraham, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Can you imagine what was going through Abraham's mind at the time? Of course, his answer was that God will provide the lamb. And then when he gets there and he binds Isaac, he bound Isaac, it says, put him on the wood and took the knife. What is he going to do? He's going, I doubt that he put an IV into Isaac's veins and gave him some anesthetic, you know, before they did this. Binds Isaac, puts him on the wood. There he takes the knife. And that is a sacrifice. That would be difficult of any parent to do for his child. Abraham is willing to make that sacrifice. Also, his obedience is in full faith and trust in God. Abraham, you remember, said, let me back up and say that he knew the promises that God had made to him concerning him becoming a great nation, possessing the land, it would be his descendants, it would be through Isaac, that these would be fulfilled, and he knew that God was going to fulfill that promise. Again, he didn't know how, but he trusted God. Look also in verse 5, the two young men that he took with him, he told them to stay at a certain place. And notice what he says to them in verse 5. Stay here with the donkeys. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. Notice, and we will come back to you. And we will come back to you. Just him and Isaac. He was confident that Isaac was going to be coming back. He was confident that God was still going to fulfill his promise. How he was going to do that after killing him, he didn't know. Now, the Hebrew writer does mention in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19 that Abraham had concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. So that was the idea that Abraham maybe had in mind, is that I'll kill him and then God will raise him back up from the dead and will return. God will fulfill his promises. Wow. I mean, I don't know if Abraham had ever seen anybody being raised from the dead before. Someone dead, the spirit going, coming back into the body and being raised again. But he knew God could do that. He had that kind of trust in God that God was able to even raise him back from the dead. He didn't know, but he had full confidence that God would still fulfill his promises. And that's the nature of Abraham's obedience. Well, God expects us to have that same kind of obedience today for us. We need to have the same kind of faith of Abraham. And in fact, the faith that saves is the faith of Abraham. The faith that would lead us then to obey. An obedience which is without delay, without question, with sacrifice. Obedience, and full trust, and faith and trust in God. Obedience without delay. What does that say? Well, it says, as soon as I know there's something that is right, I'm convinced that it is right. And I know I need to do it. That's the moment I need to do it. It's not waiting some other time saying it because it's hard, and I'll wait a week later. No, when I know it's the right thing to do, I need to do it then. That's what it means to have the faith of Abraham, to have his obedience, to obey without delay. Also, it must be without question. How many people today, you know, when they read the Word of God, they begin to filter it through their own experiences, their own ideas, and they begin to question whether or not, you know, this should be done or not. So many people do that today. And they will question God's Word. If it's the Word of God, and we know the Bible is the Word of God, and we learn what it says, we need to accept it without question. I may not fully understand why God commands it. I may not fully understand how that should be. But the kind of obedience the Lord wants us to have is to obey it without question. Many today just cannot comprehend how a wife is to be in submission to her husband. And how that a woman has been given a submissive role, and that she's not allowed to teach within the church of our Lord where she has authority over men. Some things that's just awful. It's a kind of thinking that we've gone beyond. There's equal in the sexes, equality. And to have any idea of there being a division or a difference in men and women, that's antiquated. That's not something that they could even conceive of. But God said it, and therefore we accept that. And that's true today of how many people, their view concerning homosexuality, is that they just cannot conceive of how that we would then condemn someone who would be engaged in a loving relationship. They care for one another and love one another. And why they cannot enjoy one another together. They just cannot conceive how we would then object to that. That's hateful. That's bigotry. And the point is that what we find is many could at one time maybe accepted what the Lord said on the matter because of the influence, the way the world thinks, they begin to have those questions about God's Word, what God says, because they're filtering it through the way the world is thinking. And they begin to think as the world thinks, and they end up not accepting what God has said. So, the obedience the Lord wants, the faith that He wants us to have, is a faith without question, an obedience without question. And it's an obedience with sacrifice. What will it cost you to do what God commands you to do? Will it cost you your friends? Will it cost you your family? Will it cost you some pleasure? It may cost you your job. It might even cost you your life. What kind of obedience the Lord wants us to have? Well, in all of those, if it costs us that, we're willing to pay that. It cost Abraham the offering up of his son. And that's the kind of obedience the Lord wants us to have. It's obedience to sacrifice. I'm willing to give it up. If it means giving up my life, then I will do that if that's what it means to obey the Lord. You know, whatever sacrifice is involved, God expects our obedience, even if it means sacrificing even my only son. Remember back in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David committed a sin. He numbered the people. That was a violation of the law. And as a result of that, God brought punishment. As a matter of fact, He gave David a choice of three different ways in which He could bring punishment. And so David chose that it would be a plague that God would bring upon him. And He sent an angel to kill with a sword, to kill children of Israel. And 70,000 of them died as a result of this plague. And then God told David through the prophet Gad, an angel came to Gad and told Gad to go to David and told him to go and to erect an altar on the threshing floor of Ornan. And so so David goes to erect his altar. David, of course, repents, and he goes to the threshing floor of Ornan, and he offers to purchase, to pay for the threshing floor of Ornan. And Ornan said no. Says, you can have it. You can have whatever you want. You can have the threshing floor. You can have the threshing instrument for wood, for the offering, whatever you want. Notice what David said to Ornan in verse 24, 1 Kings 21. Says, then King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price. For I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which cost me nothing. David was not going to make an offering to God, something that would cost him nothing. You know, sometimes I think our obedience is that if it's going to cost me anything, if it's going to be difficult for me, then I'll find some way to rationalize and not do it. Now, I don't think I really need it. The Lord wouldn't expect me to do this. The Lord wouldn't expect me to go through that difficulty. The Lord wouldn't expect me to sell my house. The Lord wouldn't expect me to give up my job for this. Surely the Lord would not expect me to leave my wife. Maybe in some cases, of course, the Lord does. But in some ways, we rationalize and think the Lord would not expect me to do that. If we're not careful, we can keep on looking for some way to serve the Lord without it costing us anything. That's not the spirit of obedience. That is not the spirit of Abraham's obedience. It's being able to serve the Lord where it doesn't cost him anything. We can be assured that obedience to the Lord will cost us something, and maybe more than we even realize in the days ahead. And I need to be ready for that. I need to be ready to make the sacrifice of whatever it may be. If it means obeying the Lord, I will be willing to give that and do that. And then the obedience is full of faith and trust in God. Obedience with full confidence that God will fulfill His promises. Confidence that God will forgive me when I obey His command for forgiveness. It doesn't matter what I've done. When I genuinely repent and seek God's forgiveness in the way that He has commanded, I know that He forgives because He has promised that. And I need to put the sin in the past. He promised that if I leave all, everything for the kingdom of God, that He's going to promise me fulfillment now as well as eternal life. Look in Luke chapter 18, verses 29 and 30. So He said to them, this is Jesus speaking, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and the age to come eternal life. In other words, I do sell my house and get something a lot smaller in order to serve the Lord. I leave this job in order to serve the Lord. I make those hard decisions, but I know that God has promised that I'll have whatever I need in this life. Materially, emotionally, spiritually, the Lord's going to provide that. And I'll have manifold more in this present time and in the age to come, eternal life. And I'm confident in that. My obedience is in full faith and trust that God will fulfill His promises. And He'll bring me through whatever the difficulties of obedience may require. Well, that was the obedience of Abraham. And the question is that my obedience? Is that what I have? And the next time you're faced with a command of the Lord and you realize, you know, maybe it's in a sermon being preached, and you read something from God's Word, something that you really have not accepted, but you come to realize that's what God said. Or at least you maybe think, well, I'm not sure. Are you willing to investigate it further to find out? You know, some people don't study and investigate because they're afraid of what they might find. They're afraid that they may come to realize they do need to do this when they really don't want to do it, but if they don't ever study, they'll never find it. No, that's not the obedience. The kind of heart that Abraham had was he was willing to do whatever God commanded without delay, without question, with sacrifice, full faith and trust in God. And that's the kind of part that the Lord wants us to have. So that's the lesson for us as we go back out into the world this week, and as we make decisions, and as we face difficulties, let's have the faith of Abraham, the obedience that he has. There may be some here tonight who need to respond to the invitation of the Lord. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become a Christian. If you have become a Christian and fallen away, the Lord wants you to come back and to repent, seek His forgiveness. And we encourage you to do that. Not leave here without knowing that you are forgiven if you have the hope of eternal life. If you're subject in any way, please come as we stand and sing.